The Lifeboat Hour with Michael Rupert, Sundays at 9 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Here we are again in a nightclub at the end of the world. It's October 2nd, 2011. You know who I am, Mike Rupert. We're back on the Lifeboat Hour. And boy, this is going to be one of those Sundays that we might look back on and say, that was the day before a lot of things happened. We're going to talk about some very important things tonight. And we'll get to questions probably around the halftime for the show. First thing I want to talk about is that the lead story on Reuters that just went up a little bit ago is that Greece will miss its targets for deficit reduction, for austerity, for blah, blah, blah. How many times have we heard that? But it's confirmation. Ever since the markets closed on Friday, which was a pretty bad day for Wall Street, and we've been waiting as the stories came in, but after the markets closed Friday and from then until now, there's been nothing but a cascade of devastating stories, absolutely spelling out. And you've seen them on CollapseNet. We've been bringing them to you there. That the whole alleged European bailout is falling apart. It's toast. Not only is Greece going to default, and not only is the EU plan not going to work, the Chinese economy is imploding. Major stories were surfacing about that. Everything is being timed with such amazing precision. I mean, Greece has been a dead man walking for some time now, so has the EU. But it looks like this next week is a crunch time when many different things are going to be coming together all at once. And so we're going to be watching that very heavily, and it's not just us. I mean, it's Ambrose Evans Pritchard at the Telegraph. It's Business Insider. It's Zero Hedge. It's major, even mainstream publications are just sounding alarm bells all over that the global economy is toast. Just go to CollapseNet and look at the headline stories, the homepage breaking news stories, and just scroll through the headlines. And you will see that it's very clearly here, just like we said it was going to be. On top of that, you may remember, if you've listened to my speech from Portland on September 11th, it's been listened to and watched on either YouTube or from our website well over 7,000, probably getting closer to 8,000 times now. I appreciate that. One of the big points I brought up in that speech, and we've been hammering on at CollapseNet, is a Japanese incineration of radioactive waste, which was about a month ago now. We brought clear stuff, a compelling video from the wonderful Arnie Gunderson, and very compelling video, Geiger counter right there from Toronto, showing that after heavy rain, Toronto received massively heavy doses of radiation. And so we started to ask at CollapseNet, and I personally made this a cause to say we need to find out whether the Japanese are incinerating or not, because our rainy season here in the Pacific Northwest is just about to start, and we can't trust the U.S. government. We can't trust the Japanese government. We know that enormous amounts of radiation are loose in Japan. One story over the weekend put it at 2.5 million metric tons, enough to fill 23 Tokyo domes, or like 23 super domes. And this is a whole separate thing from Chris Busby, a nuclear professor of, I believe it's physics, in Sweden, who has been right there with Arne Gunderson telling us the truth about Fukushima. But we found this story, which is dated, and this is why CollapseNet is good, from the Manichi Daily News, dated October 3rd tomorrow, which means it's, you know, it's already tomorrow there. And I'm going to read this story to you because it's compelling. In Kashiwa, Chiba, the city of Kashiwa in Chiba Prefecture, decided September 30 to suspend operations at one of its two incineration plants due to high levels of radioactive substances following the crisis at the crippled Fukushima No. 1 nuclear power plant after the March 11th, blah, blah. The city says the Nambu Clean Center, this is a special incinerators have to be used with scrubbers to burn radioactive material. The city says the Nambu Clean Center will suspend its operations for the time being due to higher levels of radiation than the national landfill level of 8,000 becquerels per kilogram. The move is believed to mark the first time in Japan that a waste disposal facility will halt operations due to nuclear contamination, and the environment ministry says it has no record of such a suspension. A longer story, but basically what that says, it's a public acknowledgement, so somebody is hearing us, apparently, and our back channel work and what we've asked people to do through CollapseNet has apparently been having an effect. But here's a story that was placed here that says that even some of the incineration facilities are shutting down due to massive amounts of radiation. It's a good sign. And it rained here on the West Coast, and I'm in Sebastopol, California, north of San Francisco. Wes Miller, our chief operating officer, CollapseNet's up in Portland. We talked today, and in spite of the rains, none of us, our radiation detectors were not triggered at all. So that's a very good sign. So we're going to continue to watch this, and it's just a shame, very much a shame, that we can't get a definitive answer from a credible government telling us, you know, somebody, for all these tax dollars that we pay, getting us less and less, we should be able to have that entity charged with looking out for our welfare give us reliable information on what's happening in Japan. There is a must-see video also that we put up on CollapseNet from Chris Busby. He's the guy in the beret who is a very articulate. He's a professor, I believe, of physics. Totally, I mean, he's amazingly credible. And like Arne Gundersen, he has been extremely courageous in his reporting on events at Fukushima. And there's a very, very, very disturbing must-see video that we have up there talking about the radiation in Japan. And we're trying to get Chris as a guest on the show. And I can understand maybe some reluctance because pressure is put on these people. But the nuclear industry is extremely powerful. But he does it in a children's playground. And he was mystified because for all of these millions and millions of metric tons of fiercely contaminated debris, not just with radioactive iodine, but with cesium and strontium was mentioned, also very deadly, that the Japanese had decided to truck it to other parts of the country. Now, you have to think about that for a second. You cannot truck highly lethal radioactive waste in a flatbed with a tarp over it. You have to have special, but yet they're going to drive it, according to his report, all over the country. He was flabbergasted. He speculated that TEPCO and the Japanese government, in order to avoid lawsuits for all the cancers that are going to break out, were scattering the radiation around everywhere so that there could be no control group. I don't buy that for several reasons. First of all, a lawyer would say, well, yeah, we have these that broke out in Fukushima above and beyond what broke out. You know, there's too many ways around that. That's not a legal reason to do that. Secondly, this is collapse. Japan is dying. And we're documenting that for you in spades on CollapseNet. And many of our members, including Rice Farmer, who is just an integral part of our world news desk, live in Japan. So we're getting good information. Japan is dying. Why are they worried? Nobody's worried about lawsuits in 5 years, 2 years, when the cancers crop up and children start dying very horrible deaths. It was hard to watch Chris Busby talk about that. I think, and I'm just throwing this out, I'm not offering it as a conclusion, as a conclusion. But I think that Japan understands that it's dying, and I think it clearly has signaled now, hopefully, that it understands that it can incinerate its waste, and it's going to have to fall on its sword as a matter of honor. But also, the Japanese are now facing incursions of their airspace by Russian bombers, Chinese naval vessels in their fishing waters, the row over the Spratly Islands in the South China Sea, and the oil routes is flaring up, and China and Russia are circling around Japan like vultures. And I don't know what the explanation is, but you cannot truck those amounts of radioactive debris to other parts of the country and put them in landfills without understanding that what you're doing is you're poisoning all the people there, too. I have no explanation for that. I'm trying to reach out to both Arne Gundersen and to Chris Busby to ask some more questions, but clearly Japan is but we're all kind of there anyway. And that's where we are on a planetary basis with everything else that is coming to a head. And again, I have to comment that the synchronization of these events is just amazing to me, that we could have had 14-hour, 14-day, 2-month death scene for Greece when everybody knows what the outcome will be. Same with Europe, that and all this stuff that seems to be holding things off. But remember, tomorrow the United States government has no budget. Remember that. We have no budget. The continuing resolution that was brought up over FEMA, probably pretty inadequate. So we come back to a budget crisis tomorrow. We come back to the fact that we've already breached the debt ceiling again. The Committee of 12 has, I think you're getting the picture with that. So in that context, I think we'll play a song. So I want all this to sink in. This is kind of obvious. I mean, there's so many of us, if you check what we do at Collapse, that so many people out there, so many credible experts who have been so right for so long, all saying that it's right now, this is it. So with that being said, I think we'll take a minute to play a new White Trash song. I want to hear one of our songs again. We're going to do that and set up, and I'm going to come back, and then I'm going to talk about Occupy Wall Street and what I saw there and what I see there and what the problems are. And we're going to talk some truth. But anyway, here the song for tonight is really appropriate because the chorus is, "Don't let the fear turn my ears and eyes off." The song is called "It Would Be Strange."
Thank you.
Incredible wah-wah guitar was played by my good friend Michael Yost, J-O-S-T, of Venice Beach, California. And Doug Lewis wrote that song, and that was from New White Trash, www.newwhitetrash.com. We have a CD there and all that good stuff, and it's nice to hear one of our tunes again. We've been bringing some other songs here for a while, and now I'm back to something that I still don't have to pay any royalties on because it's my song. Uh-huh. Okay, it's been amazing to watch how Occupy Wall Street has seemingly become a national sensation with really solid, well-intended outpourings in major cities all over the country. 500 people arrested on the Brooklyn Bridge. Or more, 700, I think the last story was. I've been very gratified when I spoke in Portland. I was very clear that I wanted to avoid violence at all costs. I kind of phrased that wrong. I said, "Don't take to the streets." What I wasn't assuming was that I might not be able to see, given the climate, so many people taking to the street and truly being nonviolent. No matter what was done, there's been some pretty nasty things done. We've been showing the videos there at the Collapse Net. We've been tracking it. And so I've been really gratified to see that, because there is truly power. I mean, that's what Martin Luther King and Gandhi both knew, and that's why you fight this way, is because they did something that nobody else in the world, or none of the other so-called progressive, blah, 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 blah. Nobody else has done anything. Steve Biko and apartheid, yes, apartheid was brought down, but there's a huge difference, and there's no time to mince words now. There's an official statement that Occupy Wall Street put out, their first official statement, and I got to say, I'm disappointed. I'm really disappointed. Because there was no objective, there was no demands, and those may be coming. I'll grant that those may be coming, but there was a list of great writing about many of the outrages and list of things that have been done wrong, and yet there was no mention of the real causes of what's going on here. I mean, as I read this official statement, it sounded like it was drafted by Michael Moore, Amy Goodman, MoveOn, and George Soros. For those of you who haven't been around for a while, you need to figure out what's going on, because this is what I wrote on CollapseNet. I'm going to read you what I wrote on CollapseNet about the official statement of Occupy Wall Street. Until Occupy Wall Street makes clear a clear statement on the way money works and ending infinite growth, it will be leading people into a cul-de-sac and betraying their hopes. There is no other problem that needs to be identified, because until you change the way money works, you change nothing. Every grievance they list arises from the mandate for infinite growth. Fiat currency, fractional reserve banking, and compound interest will always recreate the same end results, no matter how much enthusiasm is mustered or how exciting it may be to see people uniting. The powers that be know this, and that's why they can sip champagne from balconies and watch these demonstrations with laughter. Sure, let them have their little venting fest. Now, let me jump in here parenthetically to say that we have a video in our must-see videos at the Collapse Net of people looking down from the balconies on Wall Street at the Occupy, and they're drinking champagne, they're laughing, and they're snickering. Well, of course, because Occupy Wall Street is no threat to them any more than MoveOn was a threat to George Bush and Dick Cheney, any more than Amy Goodman has ever accomplished anything, or, yes, the camera hog phony Gulfstream 5 flying Republican box seat Michael Moore has never accomplished anything, and yet. So what else I wrote about Occupy Wall Street was, so I would have to say that the leaders of the movement are misinformed and naive at best, or intellectual and moral cowards at worst, until they name, challenge, and focus on the only real issue there is. Half measures do not avail 50% benefits. They avail nothing, and we have 5 decades of protest history to prove that not one progressive or populist movement has changed the world. The world we live in is living proof of that. Look around. Look at all of the things that MoveOn challenged, that Michael Moore, you know, said he was the champion of, same with Amy Goodman, and ask yourself if for all the decades you've been following them blindly, did they achieve success anywhere? No. There's a reason for that. Human beings have neither the energy nor the ability to participate in something like this that will ultimately leave them hungry, beaten, defeated, and poorer. It's simple arithmetic that cannot be challenged. And that's why, until I see a clear commitment and vision to something that will produce change, I can applaud the nonviolent power that's being exercised, but I cannot tell my readers or any of you listening out there with any confidence that this will produce anything more than millions of people in the street protesting over the invasion of Iraq. It didn't. Hey, at some point in time, and this is Darwinian deselection, you know, we have to be held accountable for our actions, and somebody has to, the universe will ask whether or not whether we made the right decision or not, or ask the right question. You know, we either get what the issue is, or the slow campers are going to have expended precious energy on nothing. And this may be the last window of opportunity that comes along. That's the crisis now. This is, we're out of time. And, you know, we're looking at changes starting next week over the next 2 months that will leave us all struggling to function. And yet, how many times does it have to work? And, I salute everybody who's out there, but until the leaders and organizers of this movement make a statement that's worthy of the commitment of the people who are turning out in the street, I'm just standing back and I'm just praying that this doesn't turn out to be a train wreck of wasted energy, like so many of us did, looking back after Iran-Contra, looking back after CIA and drugs, looking back after the 2000 election, looking back after so many things, and saying, we told you, that's not going to do anything. So in a ham and eggs breakfast, the chicken is involved and the pig is committed. So we're going to take a little break now. We're at the bottom of the hour. And when we come back, the call-in line is, I've already got 4 or 5 questions in. The call-in line is 1-888-874-4888. 888-874-4888, or you can email me directly at lifeboathour@collapsenet.com. We'll be back after this. That's Miss Kristen Vigard, White Trash, singing the song Don't Dig Too Deep, also one of the best ones we had off our double album, and I miss her. It was fun hanging out in the studio. I was there when that was recorded. Still playing in the background. Hopefully we can turn that off. Okay, got it. Okay, so anyway, we're back. I want to throw out a trivia question. I've never done this before, but while we were on break, one of the greatest quotes I've ever heard in my life popped into my head. So I'm going to throw the quote out, and somebody maybe send me an email if you know who it was that said this. We get answers that don't answer, explanations that don't explain, and conclusions that don't conclude. Let's see if anybody knows who said that. Okay, so we got Bill on the line from Atlanta. Are you there, Bill?
Hello, are you serious? You're really gonna take my question?
Well, you're on the air.
Okay, so this is like the most crazy thing ever. Did you get my email?
I've got like 15 emails, man, so I just went to the caller first. I haven't read the emails yet.
Okay, because you probably would want to read my email before you put me on the air is what I would say.
Let me read it. Okay, here it is. Do you think Israel or another Mideast nation would take a Greek Eurozone collapse?
No, that's me. That's not me.
That's not you? Okay, well, the answer to that is that I don't know where that question came from. No, I don't. Okay, so just ask your question.
Okay, there's a lot of questions. First of all, the question is...
Well, I can't give you the whole show. I've got like 15 people waiting.
I know, that's why. Okay, look at my email. If you think you want to respond to me, I'd be really appreciative. Essentially, I kind of have like, after last week and the craziness, I decided to just dive in and do my research, and I came up with a lot of crazy conclusions. One of those.
Okay, we can't do a whole long list of those, man. I'm sorry.
You know what? I'm sorry. Probably the best thing is to just read my email. If you want to put me on hold and come back to me, that's cool.
No, I got like 15 others I have to answer, man. I'm sorry. What I'll do is I'll read the email, and then I'll try to answer you after the show.
That would be totally cool.
Okay. All right. So anyway, there we go. So now we've got some questions here. So we have one from Doug Seward. Another good show tonight. Oh, this is a week ago. That was from last week. Excuse me, everybody. Question: state-owned bank. That's a good question. CollapseNet member, new White Trash fan, and avid Rubicon reader here. Thank you, Mikkel. You mentioned the Money Masters in your latest emergency action alert. According to the director, Bill Still, one of the key steps toward monetary reform and a solution to the U.S. financial situation is state-owned banks modeled after the Bank of North Dakota. Last week, he said in his regular updates that the Californian Senate voted yes to implement steps toward a state-owned bank in California. Do you think this will have an impact on the way down the quadrillion-dollar derivative black hole, or have we already passed the point of no return in the financial regard? Very intelligent question. Thank you. This is from Denmark. A very intelligent question. It's too late. We are well past the point of no return. In terms of functioning within the economic paradigm as we know it, there's nobody's going to pass laws now. There's no budget. Nobody's going to fund the banks or capitalize them. Within a matter of days, the whole world is going to be scrambling just to function. And I'm very clear on that. There's the news out of Europe is just a guy, and it's not just me. It's like everybody's going, holy shit. And the same thing about China, too. So maybe if during the middle of collapses, as the country breaks apart, states might just do it on an ad hoc basis, but forget about passing the laws or anything like that. No time for that. Okay, that was from, let's go to Andrew Palmer. Hi, Andrew. I found you in the movie Collapse just a few months ago, and since then I've opened my eyes to the real world. I used to trade stocks, and now I don't because I believe, like you, that it just contributes to the infinite growth that will destroy us. Yes, that's true. Now to the point, the markets seem to keep rebounding when they drop large amounts. This seemed to make little to no sense. Yeah, that's correct. However, if you think about this massive crash, I think I get where you're going. Some of this possibly attributable to high-frequency, high-volume trading, computerized trading, where you know, banks might sell the market, sure, blah, blah, and play that game. But no, this is not that. This is a pump and dump. This is orchestrated. The news stories are playing into bubbles, and of course, anybody who's you know, got an IQ over the over 50, and who's sentient, can see that the news stories don't justify what the market's been doing. They're trying to hide the volatility; it's coming undone. But I don't think it's all attributable to that whole way of living is coming to an end now. It's not working, and that's the deal. Okay, so we have a question from Fabian Calvo. The Occupy Wall Street movements are spreading. New York City's banks are completely locked down. This happened the way this happened way before the protest started. I believe the feds have infiltrated these movements. Well, of course they have. So what? They've been infiltrating every movement since you know, since the suffrage movement, for Christ's sake. That's what they do. Also, do you think the government would allow these protests to grow in order to know that this has nothing to do with suspending future elections? We may not get there, but that won't be the reason, that's for sure. Okay, so we have a question from Saul, who says, hello from the man in Houston. I'm a fan and supporter, a believer in peak oil, to be anonymous on the air. Okay. The BBC interview of the trader Alessio Rastani, Goldman Sachs rules the world, I go to bed at night dreaming of the next recession to make money, yes, was quite an event this week, going viral on YouTube, also a great commentary on the banking industry in general. Yeah, well, I was clapping as I saw that. I mean, you know, always give me an enemy who, you know, or an opponent or somebody out there who tells the truth. And that's what I've been writing for so many years. I mean, that was complete confirmation of crossing the Rubicon from the wilderness and everything else. And, of course, now we see the physical evidence of that, too. So I hope some more like him step out. You know, I still take the position I don't recommend anybody play the market. I think it's morally wrong at this point. Anyway, we have a question from Bill. Thank everybody who's writing in. Nobody's chiming up on the quote yet. We get answers that don't answer, explanations that don't explain, and conclusions that don't conclude. Okay. Do you think that Israel or another Mideast nation would take it, this is a different bill, okay, to a Greek Eurozone collapse as a green light to it? No, no, absolutely not. No, I just don't think so. From Robert Cook, idea and comment. I found a link to download all of Wikipedia to my machine. It's about a 7 gigabyte download. I feel this could. He's talking about storing information. Well, you can send that into CollapseNet. We have an absolutely free Lighthouse directory with now more than 1,600. Hand-picked, very well categorized entries, leading people to everything from goods to services, instruction, you know, on an unbelievable array of subjects. We've been building this for quite a while. That's probably something that should go in there. You can just send it right to the link that's right there on the page. Go check it out. Another topic, I expected that once we hit the energy crisis, the concept of peak oil would be so devastating but abstract that people would start protesting but not even know why. I'm being energy efficient with Occupy Wall Street. They will get my support and I will get excited when I see them do something different than has been done, and that than they appear to be doing right now. I think it's all being led down the same place that the protests were led, by wolves in sheep's clothing and fake human beings, and just sent screaming down into nothingness, achieving nothing. I mean, one of the statements that I say over and over again too is the only thing I care about is change in the political landscape. And, you know, if you were to see Occupy Wall Street going viral in cities across the country with only the demands to end fiat currency, fractional reserve banking, and compound interest, instead of watching those creatures on the balconies drinking champagne, scoffing at the protesters, you might hear the shrieks of the, you know, of the people once they were discovered, like from the Night of the Living Dead. Big difference there. Okay, so we have a question from, this is a statement from Occupy Wall Street. Here's a link. Yes, we have that up on the CollapseNet website now. It's under breaking news on the homepage. You can go right there and read their statement and my comment on that. Wow, the question's coming in and good. Oh, wait a minute. I see something from Justin Diar. I should know. No, is a quote from George Carlin, loyal CollapseNet member. No. We get answers that don't answer, explanations that don't explain, and conclusions that don't conclude. This is going to be fun. From Jim Gillespie. Hi, Jim. How are you, man? Do you see that we may be moving at some time to a carbon-based currency? And if so, would this mean the collapse of precious metal values if and when it happens? Jim's an old friend. Jim's been around a long time. Nice to hear from you, dude. What I think is that we will not see an orderly change to a carbon-based currency as a controlled step down. That will not happen. That would require achieving a collective state of consensus globally, or, you know, or even they may evolve locally, but how would you exchange? You don't want to recreate the same arbitrage carry trade mess all over again. So no, this is too late to put band-aids on it. This sucker's got to come down now. That's all. You have to defeat the enemy of infinite growth now, and you cannot do anything that doesn't change that. So that's my feeling. Who knows where precious metal values are going to go after a certain point, Jim? Certainly gold is going to have, you know, the big breakout, you know, the one when the world realizes there's 100 times more paper gold than physical gold. That's the, you know, and we may be right on the cusp of that. But, you know, there's a certain point in the future where you don't know who's going to be left or what they're going to be willing to trade with or able to trade with. We want to stop it before it gets that far. You know, what I've been saying all along is I'm not an advocate of a gold-based currency. I just have seen that it was inevitable, or that, you know, that gold would break out. I'm not advocating, you know, the greenbacks were fine, debt-free money. But none of those choices are available anymore, period. So gold's going to have a big breakout, and at a certain point, it might not even be recognized by the people who are left. I don't know. That's a long, I can't see that far out into the future. A question from Steve. Mike, I agree with you about Occupy Wall Street. Your views and points are on point. But, brother, to use your own words, and I mean this in love, get off the cross, asshole. We need the good wood. Reach out to the Occupy leadership and help guide them. And lend your resources and expertise. Just don't shine on them. Help them. You know, listen, dude, that's what we're doing here. I mean, I'm aware that several of the people involved in that read CollapseNet all the time. This is how I reach out. You know, what we put out is we don't hide from the world our position. Anybody can come read it, and I know that they're reading this anyway. So I'm not going to go knock on their door. I'm not going to go tell them, hey, I think you guys are making a mistake. They know I'm here, and they know what I'm saying. And so if they want to come ask for some advice, I'll be happy to give it to them. So anyway, all good. Stuff's still coming in. All right. We have a question from Rick. While we agree that fiat currency, fractional reserve banking, and compound interest are the face of the problem, the question is, what do we replace it with? What do we suggest to those who want to help change the paradigm? Okay, kind of back to the same thing we've hit on a couple of other times tonight is if there's a guy who was seen going down on the Titanic who said, I'm not getting off this ship until I find out why this happened. Glub, glub, glub. We have passed the point in the collapse of human industrial civilization where we can design somehow, form a 501c3 nonprofit to sell it around the world, those opportunities are gone. That's what everybody in the peak oil movement, Robert Hirsch, one of the great heroes, who in a very bold report paid for by the U.S. government said it very clearly. We waited until the last minute and the result is devastating chaos. A collapse, and he laid out scenarios. Had we come to the consciousness that we're reaching now 10 and 20 years ago, different possible outcomes. It's too late for that. The only thing we can do to change the paradigm now is to extricate ourselves from it. That's what's been my message from the movie Collapse at Collapse Net. You disengage, you build a lifeboat, you get away, and you let that paradigm crash because nothing can stop it. Nothing can stop it now. That's why we've been so accurate for all these years, because we had this map that said it was very clear. And when I say we, those of you who followed me for a long time know of the 15 or 20 amazing heroes out there, the ones who taught me about peak oil, the ones who taught me about money, the ones who taught, plus what I dug up on my own. So we will replace it locally with what we build in our neighborhoods. And unless you think that small, you're going to become a slow camper, because you're not going to be doing the only thing that can possibly help you to survive. What is here on our door falling on our heads right now, this minute? Grow your own food. Get to know your neighbors. And if you and your neighbors, it's like I have an apple press here on this incredible property that I'm on in Sebastopol, California. And boy, it puts out some of the best apple juice, apple cider you ever taste. It's amazing. I was at a community potluck last night, and everybody found out I had this apple press. It was given to us by Jack, one of our great friends here locally. So now all of a sudden I am, for next year, the neighborhood apple juice presser guy. And, we worked out a deal in a heartbeat. I'll get two bottles of apple cider for every 10 I produce. All they got to do is bring the apples, and boom. This is how we're going to survive. We are not going to write a book. We're not going to make an operations plan. It's too late. It's too late. And there are so many of us who clearly get that now. So many of us who clearly see it. We have one. I have another question coming in. We're down to the last 7 minutes of the show. From Justin again. Okay, here's the quote, and I'm going to give you guys the answer to it. What role do you see for hemp cannabis plant for the post-petroleum human? It can detoxify the earth, Fukushima, blah, yes. It would all be very useful. All somebody has to do is use it and apply it. We don't have time to talk theoretics, but nothing can save Japan. That's so much radiation out there. That will be useful for the rest of us, extremely useful. The stuff that hemp can do, it's too late for Japan. But the stuff that hemp can do medicinally in terms of clothing and soil, all the stuff that hemp is good for, great rope, that's going to be of use for the rest of us who have to deal with the 450 nuclear reactors, whatever, how many are still operating out there that all need to be shut down, because Fukushima is not going to be the last one. We have a Rick Dawson. Hi, Rick. So you would have the Occupy Wall Street people all go home and build their own lifeboats or just complain about fiat currency and what it's done to us? No, I would have, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying that I would have them articulate what the problem is and make demands that have to do with staying alive in the face of what's going on. They're listing demands. There's no specific, they're listing the litany of grievances. There's no demands yet, but they're not focusing on the right issues. I mean, when I hear somebody singing the right music, and those of us who understand what's happening, we'll get behind them. But I didn't get behind Move On either. And I didn't get behind the people who said, well, the symptom is starving people in Sudan. So let's get, and of course the people in Sudan are worse than ever now. But until you focus on the real issue, you're wasting your breath and your energy. And so I'm not going to encourage anybody to do that until I hear somebody singing some honest music up there. Michael Snelling's quote from Fred Hampton. You got it. Fred Hampton Jr. Answers that don't answer, explanations that don't explain, and conclusions that don't conclude. For those of you who don't know, Fred Hampton Jr. was one of the original members of the Black Panther Party in the 1960s, and he was eloquent. He was like another Malcolm X, and this was after riots and lots of shootings, and you know that's he stood up and he made that speech, and man, when I heard that, I just fell back. He was shot, I think, 27 times while he was sleeping naked in his bed. With a girlfriend, I believe, by Chicago police officers, connected to a CIA operation. There's been a lot of heroes out here along the way, and I salute them. And now as we get down to the last few minutes here, I'm just going to sit back tonight. I'm going to go out because and chill some tonight because I am really anticipating next week to be absolutely breathtaking. And turning inside out. Okay, we're right at the end of the show, Rick. I'm sorry I can't answer this question. I'll be thinking about it, but, you know, and compound interest, fractional reserve banking, and fiat currency, because growth is the enemy. Infinite growth must be stopped. You have to change the paradigm which demands infinite growth. That's the demand. That's the issue. If you don't do that, none of us have a chance. And I will follow somebody who articulates that message and says it clearly, because that's what the problem is. And trying to solve any other problem than that one is suicidal. Wow. Okay, so that's pretty clear. But, you know, this is time to talk clearly. This is time to say it clearly. Put the cards down on the table because, pretty much all of us can see it, whether we choose to rest in denial or bargain or get angry about it or get depressed about it. Sooner or later, we're going to have to accept it. And that's what the Lifeboat Hour is all about, because there's so many millions of us now who we know do accept it, who do understand it, who do get it, and we are, I'm just real part, happy to be part of the species of post-petroleum human. Now, with that being said and done, we'll have a little shorter show tonight. This has been a power-packed evening. We'll be taking close notes during the week. Check with us on CollapseNet, and until then, I'll see you later at the nightclub at the end of the world. Good night.